Hello, it's Lisa and Pete. Welcome to today's edition of the Lisa and Pete Catch-Up.
Today we speak to West Australian Noongar Elder Robert Isaacs about the whole Australia Day being moved controversy.
Saru and Sue Brearley are the mother and son that inspired the movie Lion, and they came in for a chat.
Plus, with yet another truck stuck in a Claremont underpass, we asked, when did you misjudge it?
This year, Lisa and Pete are going to be 40% more awesome. Well, we hope so. And you can get up to 40% off right now at ABC Blinds. This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth on Mix 94.5.
For quite some time now, Lise, and we've seen this with Brad Pettit, the mayor of Fremantle, and what they've done with their Australia Day Skyworks celebrations, moving them to a new date and wanting to celebrate Australia Day on the 28th instead. It's safe to say this is dividing WA, if not Australia as a whole, whether or not we should be celebrating Australia Day at all. For more on this and for a great perspective on it, we're joined by former chairman of Australia Day WA Council, Dr. Robert Isaacs, also a Noongar elder. Thank you so much for your time, Robert.
Thank you very much and good afternoon to your listeners.
Seriously, thank you so much for your time. I mean, what Pete just said then just suggests the sort of the confused, weird corner we've backed ourselves into. And so many opinions on this, Robert, many of them well-intentioned but really quite ill-informed. So I was hoping that you might be able to shine some light on what the heck we are doing and what we need to do to just move forward.
Well, the purpose of the Australia Day celebrations right across the nation is that about 25 years ago, I was approached by the Australia Day Council here in Western Australia to get an Aboriginal respective, an Aboriginal person on their board, and I accepted their invitation. Since that time, I have been pursuing and been getting out into the Aboriginal community, especially here in Western Australia, just to talk to people and ask people about what is the best day to celebrate a day that will recognise Aboriginal culture, the first people of this nation, and so on. And Aboriginal people do have right across Australia NAIDOC Week, which is the National Aboriginal Island Day in July. We also have Sorry Day and we have the Reconciliation Week. So there's three events that go on each year recognising Aboriginal culture, heritage, the first people of this nation, and Aboriginal people expose the good of their organisations, the good of their people, the good of their community, and issues that they do debate about are partly resolved in their communities themselves. And Aboriginal people are saying to us that they want to get on with life and they want to be just as part as any other person in the community. We've got a big multinational community right across this country and Aboriginal people should not be split or divorced from this area.
You know what's interesting is, you know, it seems to me, you say that Aboriginal people want to move forward. And it seems to me that most of, white Australians also want to move forward. So what's going on? Who's the troublemaker that's sort of, stopping us from doing that?
Well, they're out there. They're out there, and even our own Aboriginal people are out there. And one of the sad things that I do hear from some of our elders around the state of West Australia is that the hurt of the part that they had put up and received back in the 50s and 60s, there was an act called the Native Welfare Act, which had an impact on Aboriginal people's lives here in Western Australia. And those policies were absolutely rigorous policies. They were brutal. And I was one of them that suffered under that legislation of the government of that day. The thing is, government policy had a tremendous impact on the lives of Aboriginal people. So what I'm saying here is to our people, the hurt to the past must be acknowledged, but they cannot be overshadowed by the way forward. And the way forward is to come together as one nation of people on Australia Day.
Dr. Robert, can I interrupt you there for a moment?
Yes.
I'm saying this coming from the point of a 31-year-old working class white male who has come from, you know, some semblance of privilege, right? And it's a point that you made a little while ago in this chat about what happened to you, which was an absolute tragedy. But I think this is part of the reason why the message of the people who are out there to disrupt things like this and to disrupt the peace and harmony and everybody sort of getting together and just moving along doesn't actually sink in and get through, because I wasn't there, so it's very hard for me to connect with the point that, you know, this happened to us and it was a terrible thing. And I almost feel like sometimes that, you know, I don't mean this in a really bad way or an offensive way, but I almost feel like sometimes that we're still trying to seek blame for something that somebody else or previous generations did. that our generation would not do?
Yes, yeah. Well, see, my message has always been, we've got a new generation of youth coming into this world, even though they're not even born into this world, and I don't want to see that sort of a message and behaviour floating around in the decades to come.
No.
I don't want that put the fear in the minds of these young children, and that's what my message is.
But, Robert, I think you speak the most sense on this issue that I've heard for a long time, and I could listen to you all day. I hope more people hear what you say, because it is what it is. Something's got to give, and it sounds like Miss Universe pageants, but can we just all get along, please?
Let's finish this off and say I'm a proud Australian. I stand up for my people. I'm proud to be an Australian, and this is a great nation for everyone to celebrate and part of.
Thank you, Dr. Robert Isaacs.
Thank you.
Happy Australia Day.
Happy Australia Day to everyone too, to your listeners.
We're asking, when did you misjudge it? Like the bloke who was driving the truck that got stuck under the bridge in Claremont
a little bit
earlier today.
Quite regularly, doesn't it?
It really does. Probably too often. In fact, we got Chad in Kalamunda. When did you misjudge it, mate?
Not me. A good mate of mine.
Yes.
Who now lives in New Zealand. So
it's safe.
Yeah.
Let's go him. Tell us, Chad.
Cut a long story short, I worked at a boarding school and I was a rec officer and I sent him with a bunch of kids to the movies at Carousel.
Yeah.
In a coaster bus.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And coming off Albany Highway, he took the ramp.
Oh, I know which ramp you're talking about. Yeah, that's the ramp where it's hard enough to get a Prius around the bend, let alone an actual coaster. Yeah, there's no room.
No.
So reversing's not good.
No.
It doesn't fit under the bar, let alone around the corner. So
what happened when he got to the top of it? Did he have to reverse all the way back down? Because there isn't even like a...
No, he didn't get to the top. He ripped the bar.
Oh.
That says, don't come this way.
Yeah.
Too big. He knocked the whole pole out stowed in the top of the bus. And so police, fires and all that turned up to help him. He sent the kids off to the movies.
Oh, good man.
By themselves, yeah. So they got the movie in.
Yeah.
And
they got a show first.
Yeah, that's it. While he tried to peel the bus off this bar.
Oh,
that's
unreal.
So,
oh,
wow.
And he's one of the most, if he's not in the top three most casual blokes in the world, it was just,
But, the judgment of a bus full of teenagers will get anyone.
Hey, mate, that's an absolute ripper story here. Take the tickets to Guns N' Roses on their Not In This Lifetime tour at Domain Stadium, Tuesday, Feb 21. If you're not Chad, you can get your tickets from Ticketmaster. But enjoy the show, mate.
Cheers. Thanks for that.
No worries.
Have a good one. Thank you.
In the movie Lion, a 5-year-old Saru gets lost on a train which takes him thousands of miles across India, away from home and family. Now, Saru must learn to survive alone in Calcutta before ultimately being adopted by an Australian couple. 25 years later, armed with only a handful of memories, his unwavering determination and a revolutionary technology known as Google Earth, he sets out to find his lost family and finally return to his first home. Now, the incredible thing about this is that it's actually a true story. And the real people involved in this story are Saru Brearley and his mother Sue, and they join us in the studio now. It's so lovely to have you both here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So when Seesaw Films, Emil Sherman and Ian Canning first heard the true story of Saru Brearley's journey to find his childhood home and birth mother, they immediately sensed that it could make an extraordinarily powerful feature film. And it is with the utmost respect to the filmmakers that I say, duh. I mean, what an incredible story it is using Google Earth to find anyone, but to find a family in India.
Yeah, look, it's such an, I guess, it's my story and it's so amazing that I went through all this sort of, my memoir of being sort of, lost in India and then all of a sudden such a transition from what happened in India to coming to Australia and then going back into India. But, it's such a unique, profound story and you don't get to hear personal stories like this much in the world. I'm very extremely, touched and humble about it all. Can't wait till it sort of comes out in the world.
As you mentioned, it is adapted from the memoir and the memoir is A Long Way Home, which you yourself wrote. Can we go all the way back to you just being a 5-year-old boy?
Yeah, sure.
What an incredible journey for you to undertake, being just 5 years years old and in such a place as well. I can't even begin to imagine how scared you must have been at that point in time. You know, the things that would have been going through your head, how you even managed to survive that.
I couldn't
point.
Go to the toilet on my own down the hall when I was five. I mean, really.
Look, you know, I find it amazing myself, you know, the things that sort of went through. But it was just like so sort of psychologically scarring, you know, everything that happened from just being with a sort of a nuclear family in India at the age of five, and then all of a sudden just being taken out and then put into a sort of a war zone to survive.
Sorry, when you say taken out, what actually happened then?
Well, I was with my family, and then all of a sudden my brother and I decided to venture one night to catch a train to the sort of nearby train station, which was a couple of hours, you know, down the road. And I accidentally sort of got on the train late at night, you know, about would have been 9, 10 o'clock by myself, thinking that my brother was on there, but he wasn't. And I fell asleep on the train and woke up after, you know, a day, 2 days, and not knowing where I'm going, but ended up in Calcutta.
Then you end up in Tasmania, of course. It was so
lucky.
Yes. Landed on your feet.
No, me too.
So this is, you know, a journey a lot of people make in these situations. So you're obviously completely on board and support. I mean, not too many people get to have two mums. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah. So you were there at every step?
Yes. It's just, in a way, quite a natural progression for our family. It was a decision we made a long time ago, took a long time to achieve, but we've been behind Saru every step of the way.
I have to ask, because Dev Patel, who is an incredible actor, plays you in the movie. Mm. Do you get a say in that?
I thought initially it was going to be Wesley Snipes. But, you know, on a more realistic sort of chart, yeah, I don't think you could have found anyone better to exemplify me better than Dev Patel, really. Mm. He's such an amazing sort of character, and, you know, the first time I really saw Dev Patel was in Slumdog Millionaire whilst I was on the search on Google Earth trying to find my family, and here's this amazing sort of movie of Slumdog Millionaire, and I thought it was real.
But it's better looking than Wesley Snipes. And Sue, you obviously had just the one requirement, must be an Oscar winner or something, and Nicole Kidman.
Well, that's right. And actually, you know, talking about conversation around the table, that really did happen, because when we realised that the book was becoming so successful, we sort of thought, oh, Saru said, oh, someone might want to make a film about this, you know, and it was going into country after country. So, you know, I started joking and I said, well, of course, I've got to have Nicole Kidman. Finally, when the screenplay was written and went to Cannes, the film festival, she saw it there and said, I want that role. So I've spent a bit of time with her. You know, she really is a truly beautiful
directing
person.
Directing her. Nicole, no, I don't do it like that, do I?
The book is called A Long Way Home by Saru Brearley. The movie is called Line, which you can go and see as we speak. Saru Brearley, Sue Brearley, thank you so much for coming into Lisa and Pete.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5. When the show finishes, Lisa and Pete clear out pretty fast. Discounted ABC blind stockers clearing out just as quick. Call 13 13 15.